ground here across the Front Range and big snow in the high country. And as always, it's always an honor and a pleasure to speak with you and speak to you. And Happy New Year. And to each and every one of you, may this year be productive. May it be positive. May it be a renewal of the American dream. May it be something that happens good to you or happens good to your community or happens good to your state and certainly to these great United States and, in fact, to the world, to this planet home that we have, this spaceship flying through the black void of space in the Milky Way. And it's just, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and I thank you for joining us. And as I make a quote each week, and I always appreciate this one, and my brother Howard has it on his website. He is going to be my guest this evening here after the break. No man in the wrong can stand up against a man in the right that keeps on a-coming. And that, of course, was...
And, of course, you know that comes from our favorite Captain McDonald of the Texas Rangers. And all of you know out there in radio land that this is the new year, 2008. It's a pivotal year for the United States of America. And that pivotal year is we're going to elect a man or a woman who's going to lead this country through the most perilous next 4 years that it has ever had or suffered or experienced in the last 233 years of this constitutional republic. And so each week, the guests that come on here are going to be guests that are making a difference at the national level and certainly those at the local level. And the fact is, a constitutional republic demands that the common man and woman are the ones that are the driving force of this republic, this kind of governance, and that it's the man and woman in the streets that steps up to the plate and starts swinging. And the key is in 2008 and for the next 4 years coming up after the final breath of the presidency of George Bush, which I have considered as the worst presidency in the history of the entire republic out of 43 presidents, I think he will go down to the bottom or very near the bottom as one of the most incompetent presidents that's ever served. And if you look at what's happened across America and you look at what's happened to our country, whether it's the illegal immigration invasion, whether it's the gosh darn H-1B, H-2B, or the offshoring, outsourcing, and so forth, we're going to talk about it in 2008. Thanks for joining us here at Connecting the Dots. It's always an honor and a pleasure, and we have a great guest tonight. Be right back after these commercial comments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. 52 for details.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you once again for enjoying another rendition of Connecting the Dots. And in 2008, much like 2007, we're going to connect the dots, we're going to educate you, and then we're going to inspire you and we're going to activate you as you are the hope of America. And the key here is action. And always action follows education. And once you begin to critically think, once you start to appreciate the situation that you're in, and then you are able to take this action, then change can be manifested. And as you know, each week on this show, we bring guests who are either national leaders. I've certainly have Chris Simcox on the show. I had Jim Gilchrist. Whether you like them or not, they are people who take action. I've had Tom Tancredo on the show. I'm looking forward to having Duncan Hunter on the show. And also men and women, former governor candidates up in Minnesota. Ruthie was on the show out there in Oklahoma. Some of the great thinkers, the great actors, the great activists. I've had Governor Lamb on the show. And so the key here is that every one of these American citizens is working to make a better America. And in 2008, we are going to go to the polls and elect a man or a woman who's going to lead this country in 2009. And they're going to have to lead us out of a terribly dark hole, a terribly, really frustrated nation, whereby you've got a president who's a globalist trying to dissolve our borders and hasn't enforced the laws. His impeachable offenses go from the Patriot Act to the lack of any kind of engagement or prevention of 9/11. Some people say it was an inside job. You name it. This government and this Congress has been doing so much damage to this United States of America in the last 20 years. It just boggles my mind. And I'm 60 years old. I've seen a lot of things go on in this country, and I am just stunned that men like McCain or Teddy Kennedy can pretend that they're senators who take a vow and an oath of office to follow the U.S. Constitution, because both of them wear the same sombrero. Both of them are working to just flood this country with the poor of third world countries, the illegals from third world countries, into the millions. And then watch what happens to us and do nothing in the process. So tonight, we're going to have a guest, and her name is Brooke O'Malley. She's in Durango, Colorado. I met her at a Tom Tancredo meeting a month or two ago, and she has been interested in the community and the quality of life issues. She attended Cal State Fullerton in the 80s. She completed her coursework for a master's in social sciences before she moved to Farmington, New Mexico in 1986. And she worked as a welfare reform program for the state of New Mexico, and then she accepted a job running a program counseling at-risk kids and their families. She personally has witnessed the deterioration of our culture brought on by the unchecked immigration from the perspective of the anchor baby syndrome and the infiltration of drug cartels using teenage, mostly Hispanic, drug gangs as their mules. Now, she's moved into action in her current efforts a couple of years ago when she began seeing graffiti for the first time in one of my favorite towns in Colorado, Durango, at the border down there on the Four Corners.
And later that summer, Durango Herald front page told of dramatic increase in meth-related theft crime to now one of the highest rates in the country. And perhaps it's a coincidence, but all these problems and many incidences of graffiti and drug use in Durango all stem from the fact that the city council enacted a sanctuary policy just like it is in 30 other cities across the United States. So I really want to welcome a highly articulate woman, an activist, and somebody that can give you more information on what you can do in 2008 to take action in your community. Welcome to the show, Brooke O'Malley. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Well, thanks, Frosty, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here and to be talking about a subject that's near and dear to all of us. And I'm just very pleased to be part of it, and thank you for the invitation.
Well, it's really an honor to have you, and one of the things that I noticed when we had that meeting at Tom Tancredo's there, and I think it was November or December, is that women and men across this nation are standing up and speaking out. They're forming websites. They're going to the city councils. They're taking not their complaints but their ideas, and they're standing tall. And they're not going to sit there and back down with the politically correct crowd. They can get I bet you got called a few names and a few epithets have been thrown at you and so forth, and yet you have the courage and the impersonal integrity to say, hey, I'm an American citizen. So if you could, give me a summary of what's been going on in your neck of the woods, because you're 8 hours away from me on the other side of Colorado, but what's going on in your neck of the woods, of course, has been even worse in my neck of the woods, but still affects your community. So if you could, just give the audience across this nation a feeling of what's going on in Durango, Colorado, and some of your experiences.
Sure, Frosty, I'd be glad to. First of all, Durango is a little township in the southwest portion of Colorado in an area they call the Four Corners because it's adjacent to Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico.
Correct.
And, basically we are the gateway to Colorado from New Mexico. Farmington is directly south of us.
I bicycled right through there. I bicycled the Continental Divide from Canada to Mexico back in 1999 and also 2002. And I deviated off the Continental Divide, and I went right through Durango, and I've been right through Monticello and right down through Farmington. My gosh, the scenery there and going south through Farmington is unbelievably incredible on a bicycle ride.
Well, it's an exciting, just very colorful place.
It certainly is.
And it's just, it's kind of hurt me to see the deterioration since I first moved here in 1986 with what we're seeing. And I guess the thing that first kind of got me involved with this, just to share with you a little bit, I attended an MA program in Las Cruces, New Mexico, after I worked with at-risk kids. And went in and I taught in a border school right on the border of New Mexico and Mexico. And there I worked with a whole bunch of drug gangs. And these were kids that were, having issues in school and having a hard time kind of making it. And I think many of them had been the product of mothers that had come over the border, and they were living in the San Juan Barrio in El Paso, or on the edge of El Paso. And these poor kids, I really feel for them because they are destined for a life of drug involvement. I mean, there's no way they can get around it. These kids join gangs to survive early on.
That's correct.
So I had several classes of these kids. And one in particular, one student, Alfredo Garcia, stood out to me because he was an especially bright kid, and he'd gotten himself involved with a drug gang, had gotten himself sent to Springer, which is the reform school in northeast New Mexico. And I guess he knew I had worked with at-risk kids, and so we kind of talked about some of the issues, and so we developed kind of a bond, and he kind of actually looked after me with the other kids even in the school. and made me look good to the other gang members, and made it, you know, possible for me to do a lot better job in my teaching there. Well, you can imagine my horror one day when the kids came in and told me that Alfredo had been killed in a brutal, brutal drug murder that they call a slicing murder.
A slicing murder? And what's
slicing murder.
Give me some background on slicing murder.
Well, I don't know how much background you want on slicing murders, but it's a ritualistic drug gang murder to instill terror from within the group, from without the group, and to potential witnesses that might testify against drug dealers who have been convicted and are going to court, that kind of thing.
Oh, my God, I can imagine. I can imagine. Just, if you go back to The Godfather.
Students coming in and explaining to me graphically what had happened to this poor kid.
Mm.
You know, it broke my heart.
Oh, my gosh.
I had nightmares
for
months, and I still think about it very often. And, you know, to just see Frosty, a group of kids destined for that kind of lifestyle. They wanted to go for their high school trip. We had a special trip every year. They got to choose what they wanted to do within reason. And they wanted to go to the Southern New Mexico Correctional Institute. And the reason, of course, they wanted to go there was because their brothers, their cousins, their uncles, their fathers were there.
Everybody's inside.
Everybody was there. And, I mean, this is the lifestyle that is going on along our borders. And this was back in 94. I mean, I can't even imagine now with the drug wars that are going on currently. But anyway, that's one of the things that really got me involved with kids and drugs and, as you say, these drug cartels that are viciously using these young kids as mules to do their bidding and to instill their loyalty.
I'd say instill is a word. You could use a few other words.
Oh, yeah. You could think of some better ones, I'm sure.
Well, you know, on top of that, if I may interject here, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to www.neighbors, just like your neighbors next door, neighbors, plural, .denverpost.com. And I wrote a piece in there called 12,000 Gang Members in Denver, Colorado, and Hickenlooper Invites Illegals with a Sanctuary Policy. And that blog is on the top of the Denver Post now for the last 3 days, and it'll remain there for quite a while because people identify with it right here. I bet you I could write the same thing for Durango right now, and they'd all sit there and go, oh, my gosh, it's happening here in Durango.
I bet you could, too, and I think it's wonderful what you're doing, Frosty. I so appreciate it.
I've got a commercial break right here. So Brooke O'Malley will be right back with us. We're going to be talking about New Mexico and southern Durango,
the ideology,
Colorado.
Powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Brooke O'Malley. We're talking about drug gangs. We're talking about on the border. And if you could give us more of your experiences down there on the border when you were teaching, that would really enlighten people to what they're facing, because this thing doesn't stay static. It continues to move throughout the country. MS-13 gang members now are in operating well over 15,000 members, according to Newsweek magazine, in 33 states, and they're the ones that distribute and literally the $100 billion plus drugs into this country every year, and they have unbelievable power against business owners across the nation. So you're showing where it's starting right down there. The first thing, of course, is fear.
That's right. And like I say, these poor kids are pulled into this lifestyle, and how do you get out of it once you're in it? It's a very difficult thing. But I think what really concerned me more, Frosty, was when I went to a lecture by our local sheriff. This was back, March of 06, and he told about the issues that he was facing as a sheriff. They published an article in the Herald, and I have links to all this information for anybody who might be interested. And he says here, just to summarize a couple of the things, meth is the number one problem in our area. Not only is meth the number one problem, but it has played a role in all but one, he says, of 20 to 25 murders or attempted murders occurring in our area. And this is basically unheard of.
Those are turf murders, correct?
These are drug-related murders.
Right, it's all going on in our
little community.
What's the total population there in Durango?
Well, I think it's about 14,000 right now.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Now we have, of course, the county surrounding us. I think it's about 60,000.
Sure.
The whole area.
Oh, and for ladies and gentlemen, anybody that's ever been through Durango, Colorado, you can go on the Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad all the way from Durango all the way up to Silverton, and it's one of the most beautiful train rides in the world. And I've been on trains in South America. I've been in Australia. I've been on China. And I'm telling you, that Silverton Durango, and I've even been in the bicycle race where the bicycles race from Durango up to Silverton, and they always, of course, beat the train.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
well,
I'm a bicycle nut, you know. I mean, I'll participate in that again. But, yeah, so Durango is really the gateway, first of all, coming into the southwest corner of Colorado.
Yeah.
And I think you and I have probably both been down at Four Corners, and I've stuck a hand and two feet and two hands in all four states at the same time.
It's a pretty fun place, and has a lot to offer, and a lot of wonderful archaeological sites and fun things to do. It's a real vacation mecca, and I think that's one of the reasons that our newspaper recently has kind of played down some of this information, because I think they're afraid of scaring away tourists.
That's exactly right.
Of course, our mainstay of our economy here. But going on with what the sheriff had said, he said the presence of methamphetamine here is so high that it's become labeled as a federally designated high-density drug trafficking area.
Good grief.
Yeah. And so we came across that dubious label 2 years ago. he says local cooks can't compete because most of our drugs come with illegal immigrants. Another interesting thing he told a group of us after this, he wrote this article, is that there's a kind of a new group of illegals. They're members of organized crime. And what they do is they come here and they do take low-paying jobs, but they take them only as a cover.
A front.
Right, exactly, in order to deal meth, where they make a lot, where they make their big money. So that, you know, people have this image of this poor immigrant coming here to make a better life for himself. But you have a new group of immigrants, and I'm not saying it's all of them, but certainly a segment of them that is coming here to do us harm. And they're, you know, more concerned with making money than caring for our community, caring for their families. Many of them are paying off their the organized crime people that get them here. You know,
not only that, we pay off right now the state of Colorado taxpayer for 7,300 criminals in Canyon City and other prisons across Colorado, over $20 million a year for these poor immigrants. And, of course, every one of them is an illegal alien. That's the official designation. Immigrants are people who are invited into this country, who wait in line, who come the legal way. And unfortunately, these are illegal aliens, and they are causing, and then from their first step into this soil illegally, without screening, without papers, without a legal contract to be in this country, a visa or otherwise, they are in violation of our laws.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, these jobs that they take also give them access to clients.
Of course.
They're drugs, too. So, I mean, it's just a very, very sad dynamic, you know, that's going on. So, in any case, after I was alarmed to learn all this information, one more thing. The sheriff told us that one of the murders that had happened was, if you would believe it, a slicing murder right here in Durango.
Oh,
man. The same kind of murder that I had witnessed down at the border a long time ago. So that's the extent of where these drug activities have moved, you know, inland to our little community.
So it's already coming up to Durango from the slicing murders that you experienced down on the border. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Brooke O'Malley. We're going to have a commercial break, and then we've got a nice 20-minute segment where she's really going to appreciate and really expand on this. If you have any questions, 1-800-313-9443, and we'll see you on the flip side.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us once again here at Connecting the Dots. And really, it's always a special pleasure to have guests that are really on the forefront of what's going on out there, and then, of course, taking action, doing something about it. If you have any questions of Brooke O'Malley during this interview, then by all means, call in and let us know what's going on. So if you can, let's continue with the story right now, Brooke, on what's going on in Durango, Colorado, because I'll bet everybody out there across the country is nodding their head at this point in time because it's happening in their community too, all the way down to just 14,000 people. Because if there's drugs to sell and there's high school and other schools in the community, then you know that these people are moving into that area.
Absolutely, Frosty. And I just want to take a moment to give thanks to U.S. Congressman Tom Tancredo's office, because when I realized this problem was so related to illegals bringing drugs from Mexico, I called their office to see if they had some wisdom to offer us little folks down here in Durango.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually sent somebody down. We met with the elected officials, and we talked to them quite extensively, met with the sheriff, met with ICE, and it was really, really interesting to kind of get everybody together and get some insight on some of these issues. I think it may have been also as a result of this visit that our county got on the SCAP program.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody knows what that program is, but it's a federal program that reimburses municipalities, counties, for incarcerating illegals for the tremendous cost. It only reimburses a fraction of it. I believe it's about 25%.
Right.
But at least it's help for our small communities. And in our case, you know, our jail was totally inadequate for this onslaught that we were experiencing. So we're building a new jail. I mean, the sheriff had to do some catch and release there for a while because, you know, not enough room for everybody. So in any case, we saw these incredible headlines, one after another. Jury indicts 20 auto equipment thefts believed tied to sale of meth. And Frosty, this is the community where, you know, if you saw somebody's dog get loose, it was news before.
Right.
And here now we're dealing with... here's a comment in this article by the DA. It says, when we here in rural Colorado think of organized crime, we have the stereotypical view that of that activity happening only in larger metro areas. Craig Westbrook is the district attorney here for the 6th Judicial District.
Right.
He said in a press release, It is alarming that the methamphetamine epidemic has spawned such an extensive criminal activity here in southwest Colorado. So then, you know, I mean, it was like one article after another. July 23rd of 06, Durango theft rates topped the U.S. More than one out of every 11 Durangoans suffered property crime in 05, placing the city at the top 2% of U.S. municipalities with more than 10,000 in population.
Now, I'm just curious. Do you have other figures? Because that are expanded on that one. Because I know once the illegals start moving in, and ladies and gentlemen, the one thing about poor people that don't have jobs, or poor people that do have jobs that aren't making much money, in other words, not a livable wage, the first thing they do is steal. The second thing they do, of course, is get another job that they can, whatever it is, selling drugs or whatever. And some of those things are, of course, burglaries. The other things are theft of license plates, thefts of cars, thefts of wheels, tires, breaking and entering. This thing just goes on. And many times you'll see shoplifting. They'll be shoplifting in the stores. They'll be shoplifting in the Walgreens. They'll be shoplifting at the Kmart. They'll shoplift. And that's what we're facing, and I've written about it. You can go to AmericanChronicle.com or NewsWithViews.com, and you'll see the aspects of immigrating the poor of third-world countries, whether legally or illegally. You're going to pay a price because these people are used to stealing. They're used to the kinds of, and I've said it before, corruption becomes a mechanism by which third-world countries operate, and their people simply manifest those corruptions, and it's a matter of normal practice for them. And that's why Durango right now has seen and now has jumped up to the top 2% of small cities in the country. So what Brooke is telling you is this is what's happening around the country. So if you could continue to elucidate on that.
Yes, I'd be glad to. We had a series of articles, one right after another, like the ones I'm touching on right here, Frosty. And then, interestingly, we went for a long time without references in the paper, drug crime-type references. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, gosh, I wonder what this is about. Is this, you know, our politically correct community and the newspaper may be covering up because of somebody had mentioned that, you know, this might scare the tourists.
Right, don't talk about it because the tourists. I mean, look what's happened to Southern California, Northern New Mexico. The beaches are being completely blank now because of the crime that's going on with the Mexicans down there, and Americans aren't going down there.
That's right.
Came through. I mean, a little bit of bad press would knock the heck out of Durango's tourist attractions down there.
Absolutely. And so I brought up these issues at a meeting that the mayor was attending with a bunch of local residents. And everybody kind of got on the mayor, and I think one of the fellows that was there was kind of a friend of hers, and he kind of burst out and he said, well, that, for one thing, he was referencing the crime rate. He said they're using a new software now, you know, so they're coming up with statistics they didn't have before, and he was going about defending her every way he could. Well, it was a week later that he experienced a home invasion where somebody high on meth actually bust into his house. Just bust right in the door. And here he was faced with this guy over 6 feet tall, you know, high on meth. And, you know, this fellow, luckily, was a big, strong guy himself, was able to get the guy out of there. But after having this experience, suddenly he was much more receptive to listening to what needed to be done to try to get some control over this. And what we wanted to do is talk to the mayor and ask her for her help in reversing this sanctuary policy that our city had enacted in July of 04.
Does anybody know why the city of Durango at 14,000 people enacted a sanctuary policy for illegals? What was the modus operandi for this?
Well, my understanding, Frosty, and I wasn't there at the time. I didn't even know this was going on. It was later that I became involved. But we had an Hispanic mayor, and she thought it would be great since there was a Durango, Mexico if we could become their sister city and have this wonderful sanctuary policy so people from Mexico would feel at home if they were here and they wouldn't feel discriminated against. And so she brought this up in the meeting, and she got support from a number of politically correct council members. And one council member who was the mayor that we later talked to, she was the only one to raise her voice, along with some community members that were there that were concerned about this, what this might do to our community. In any case, she was really on the spot when I brought this up at this meeting because so many people were concerned and, you know, people were affected. People were getting their homes broken into. They were kind of living in fear. She didn't really have an answer for us. Later on, I invited her to have lunch with a group of us, and she invited another city councilman who had come to office, you know, gung-ho to reverse this policy. That was part of his platform. Well, it seemed like as soon as he got in office and got involved with the others, he backed off. And so it was kind of interesting to be able to talk to him at lunch and find out why he had suddenly changed his mind. An attorney that couldn't be at the meeting suggested that I ask the mayor what were her political pressure points. What were the things, you know, keeping her from acting on this policy that would had hurt our community,
right,
where she could be, you know, a hero and maybe restore some order and look after our community, get some positive press. Well, she, as it turned out, was being financed. Her campaign was being financed by companies that use illegals.
So, oh yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Boy, oh so, boy, isn't it something? We've met the enemy, and they are us.
That's right. Absolutely. And so here, this city councilman who had been gung ho to get the policy reversed was now saying, if she spearheads an effort to reverse this policy, she will lose her election. And that was in spring of 07.
Okay.
I believe we had our city council election.
So in other words, the crime band plays on and marches right down through the streets of Durango, Colorado.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, and now you've got the manifestation of becoming one of the top little drug cities in the country for the year number of people. You got a sanctuary policy that aids and assists these illegal aliens, and you've got really those in power, those leading, literally cowering and/or facilitating the kinds of consequences that are literally, at some point in time, will create a crime problem in Durango that you will not survive.
That's right. And so they put their own ambitions before community safety, and they expect to be reelected on that basis. Well, ironically, when she did come up for reelection, jumping ahead 6 months, she had the largest war chest of any of the people. I think there were five running for city council. She was running for re-election, and another councilman who had been appointed during the in the midterm. And then we had like three new contenders for the city council.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she actually lost the election, even though she had the largest war chest from all these employers hiring illegals.
Gee, golly ding there, Sheriff Taylor. I just can't figure that out.
Isn't that great?
How come that just happened here in Mayberry?
Yeah, and how silly of her. Because, you know, Frosty, if she had come out and looked out for the community and supported us, we would have gotten out the vote for her. And she told me later that it would only have taken 2,000 votes to get her reelected. 2,000 votes.
2,000 votes, a drop in a bucket.
Yeah. And we could have done it for her. So that was the irony of the whole thing. So in her, you know, whatever you want to call it, ambition, greed, whatever, to get reelected, she actually did herself in. So in any case, we also during that time, we were making other efforts. Tom Tancredo was nice enough to come down and endorse a candidate who was running against John Salazar, who had promised to, you know, bring, he sent out this fancy brochure. I don't know if you saw it, and I'd be glad to send it to you, Frosty, because it was really interesting. How he was, a glossy brochure at taxpayer expense, how he was tough on crime, tough on meth, tough on illegal immigration. And, I mean, on the cover was a picture of a couple of hands handcuffed. And here's this tough guy who's, you know, totally an open borders candidate, pretending like he's otherwise at taxpayer expense. Well, anyway, Tom came down and endorsed Scott Tipton, who was running against John Salazar, because Scott was very concerned, too, about the crime and the problems that we were having down here in the whole of southwest Colorado. So in any case, we got involved with Scott, and he had agreed to I've got to backtrack here. We had another meeting. I got a call from the city councilman after we had this luncheon, because it was determined that if they had received a letter from the state telling them that their funding could be in jeopardy for being a sanctuary city, he said that that would give them the basis to reverse this policy and, you know, look after themselves politically.
Right.
Okay. Well, he called me, I think it was about a week after the luncheon, and he was all excited. And he said, Brooke, guess what? I think we got the letter we need to get the job done. So, well, this was very exciting. So I called everybody and, you know, told them that we may be making some progress here. Then I didn't hear back from him, and I called him. I emailed him, and my calls and emails weren't returned. So finally I decided, well, I'm going to call the mayor, because she's obviously the one who's in charge here, and see what she has to say. Well, she told me, yes, we got this letter from DOLA, the Department of Local Affairs, I believe, state level, saying that we had to we had to send out a letter to our police department and all our agencies saying that we had to now behave, enforce SB 90, the state immigration laws, as well as federal immigration laws, or we would lose our funding.
Right, SB 90, I hope.
Right.
That was fast.
Exactly. And so she did this kind of very secretly behind the scenes, and wouldn't have said anything, I think, except that I challenged her on it, because I was aware of this, that they had received a letter. So she showed me this letter and the memo that she had sent to various departments, especially the police department, talking about this enforcement issue. And then she signed it off, sent the letter back to DOLA, and told them she had let everybody know and that they were in compliance, and that was the end of it. So she never formally, you know, reversed this sanctuary policy or label or whatever you want to call it. So this leads one to wonder then, if the city council is not going to do this publicly and make it public, number one, are the departments going to take them seriously when they say we need to enforce these immigration laws? And number two, the illegals that consider this kind of a welcoming, warm, and fuzzy place to come, you know, how are they going to think otherwise?
Well, they aren't going to think otherwise, because here in Denver, Colorado, there's 12,200 gang members, and they're wreaking havoc all over the Denver area and the Front Range. And, of course, they've infested and infected our school systems. And as my brother Howard has spoken, and I just did an interview with him, and you can read it on rinse.com, and it's titled Who Supports the Drug War? Well, you'd be amazed who supports the drug war. Check out my article on newswithviews.com. It's just out yesterday, and also at Rinse, and also American Chronicle. But, yeah, it takes your breath away on what's going on with these leaders. Brooke, we're going to be right back after these comments and commercial breaks to wrap up the hour. And if you have some websites or anything else you want to give the listeners, we're going to go right after it in the last part of the hour. Be right back after these comments.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for once again joining us here at Republic Broadcasting. And I want to tell all the sponsors, certainly Cartivite, and those of you out there who can appreciate good health, check out the RBN website. It's republicbroadcasting.org. And all of the new listeners out there, each week we go after this immigration overpopulation crisis because it literally is the future of our country. I'm on the finishing touches of my next book, the next added 100 million Americans. It'll be out this year, but if you want to see the series itself, 39 chapters, you can go to rinse.com, newswithviews.com, and, of course, americanchronicle.com. The last three chapters are how you can act locally and or nationally and or internationally. And the key is that we're all in this together. And I'm hoping that this nation, and not only this nation, but all the nations on the earth come together like that movie with Will Smith, Independence Day. If we don't get a hold of this thing, and if we don't get a hold of the population crisis we face, if we don't get a hold of this massive refugee immigration crisis we face, we're all going to be going down that same swirling toilet together. And it's going to be ugly. And as I've very often said, the more extreme our numbers, the more extreme our children's consequences. Also, you can get to me at www.frostywooldridge.com. Questions and guests that you'd like to have on the show, somebody that makes a difference, somebody that's not making a difference. And remember this, everything you do or don't do counts. Now, in the last few minutes we have together, Brooke, do you have anything that you'd like to tell the audience out there that they can take action, what they can do, inspire them, get them initiated, just give them everything you can that will help them in their own challenges?
Okay, prostate. Well, you know, the way I have chosen to go more recently, we've had some recent situations just this past weekend, a couple of weeks ago, another big drug bust. So we're getting more news articles suddenly again about the drug situation, and so it's definitely alive and well in our community. We had a big bust a couple of weeks ago, and the official involved said drug trafficking remains a problem in the Four Corners. More and more dealers are setting up shop in suburbs and rural communities like Durango, believing it is a haven from law enforcement. Well, why did they believe that? Because we have this great sanctuary city. I would say what we are doing now is I am going bipartisan. I'm talking to people of, you know, various political groups who are concerned about our community. I'm enlisting new people to be involved. Some of the people that have been involved since the beginning, bless them, are probably worn out by now, so I thought maybe we should get some new blood in here to get things going again. And with the recent articles we've been having in the paper, you know, it gives us a basis for concern and for convincing others that there is something going on here that needs to be addressed. So that's the effort that I'm currently making, and just getting out of the holidays, I'm just kind of getting back to speed, Frosty. So I haven't had a meeting yet, but I plan to do so quite soon. And I would say grassroots is the way to get at this, because I think the majority of citizens of this country, I think it's been proven over and over again in the polls, are concerned about this issue. And if you can engage them one-on-one, if they see other people with the courage to stand up and address this issue, it gives them the courage to also get involved. And I think we all need to be doing this to rallying support within our communities, just talking to people one-on-one at various meetings, organizations, and developing networks of people and ideas. And
you've got it very much so. Well, we're at the end of the hour, Brooke, and I thank you very much for being on the show tonight, and you've inspired a whole lot of folks out there.
Frosty, it's been my pleasure, and thanks so much for inviting me. And
all righty. Well, I hope to see you again in the future, and we're together shoulder to shoulder. We're going to make a change.
Let's support each other, for sure.
All righty. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Brooke O'Malley of Durango, Colorado, a favorite place on the planet for this buckaroo. Thanks for joining us again here at Connecting the Dots. Happy New Year 2008. We've got big things to do, and we're going to do them. And each and every one of you is a part of the solution, so thanks for joining us.